If you have, we're going to try and play this song that we tried to play last week but wasn't quite queuing up. If you have a hymnal nearby, can you grab one? And if we can play this song, then we can see the words that are being sung and sing along with it. I have a few up here, if not. I have a couple here. You need one? Oh, we're good? You want? All right. Okay. One more? Okay. And it's the song is called Trust and Obey. And turn to page 171. Okay, we're going to see if... Let's pray and then we'll see how this works. Okay. Dear Lord God, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word. We thank you for how your spirit is heavily present here. We thank you, Lord God, that it's not by might or by power, but your word said that it's by your spirit that you do all things. So please help us, oh God, to learn more about you, learn more about who we are in you. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So just reading the first verse, the words of the song are, again, hymn 171. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And then the verse, of course, that's familiar to us is trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. But what? To trust and obey. And if you remember, if you were here last week, you may remember that one of the, actually the most used term for obedience that we talked about, because that's our topic for this month, the most used word in the original language referred to that very thing, walking in the way. Remember that? That was what the word was translated as. So it's so very fitting that this hymn that's talking about trusting and obeying speaks over and over again about following in the way, walking in the way. Can join in with them if you like.
We will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, and where he sends we. No other
Hope y'all enjoyed that. It blessed me, and I just wanted to be able to share it with you. YouTube can be a treasure. So, good evening. This is our second week with the same topic for this month of October. I almost said September. It is. My firstborn celebrated her 14th birthday yesterday. No, it's Monday. What day is this? Wednesday, Monday. So we've been celebrating. God has been good to us. So yes, our topic for this month is obedience. If you weren't here last week, you are here for a good word from the Lord. God has been talking to us about obedience, and my friend is here. Hey, baby girl. So what I want to do first, just as the Lord leads, is start with a little bit of a recap on what we talked about last week. And so if you're taking notes, you want to kind of re-go over those just very briefly, and if this is your first week, if you weren't here last week, it'll kind of just give you a foundation for what we're talking about, okay? So I'm going to move through the slides, some of them the same ones that we used last week, but I'm going to go a bit more quickly than we did, obviously. So first, just to, again, establish what we're talking about, we have a definition. So obedience, which is our topic for this month, may be defined as compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. Compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. And that's just a basic definition from Google so that we can have a common understanding about what we're talking about. And we highlighted out of that definition a couple of terms that seem to go together. So we would pair compliance and submission together because those would be the actions of the obedient one. And then we also compared together order, request, law, authority. Those are the things to which the obedient one is obedient to. Obedient to order, obedient to a request, obedient to a law, obedient to authority. And we said around about this time is when some of us start to itch a little bit because you keep talking about obedience. Okay, and so these were some of the words that are alike, like obedience, and some of the words that are not like obedience. So our synonyms and our antonyms. For all of our school folks in here, I won't call you out by name. Synonyms and antonyms. So things that are like obedience, words that we might hear that mean us very closely the same or the same. Compliance, submission, those two were in our definition, but also subordination, when you say someone is subordinate to, that's in obedience to. Duty, deference, and conformity, those are all words that remind us of our definition of obedience. And some of the words that are unlike obedience or opposites of it are contrariness, defiance, insubordination, of course, rebelliousness, self-will, unruliness, waywardness, and willfulness. And those are none of the words that we would use to describe ourselves or anybody that we know, especially not ourselves, maybe other people. Okay. What we established last week was that in all things, Jesus is our example, right? Jesus was sent as a model. Jesus was sent as a sacrificial offering to die for us. But but also the life that Jesus lived, the teachings that Jesus taught, the words that he said, the way that he responded to people, the way that he acted and behaved, all of those things serve as a model for us. And so it's no different in this topic of obedience that Jesus is also our model. And what we used as a reference for that was Philippians chapter 2, and then pretty much the whole chapter. And then we'll come back to that in just a little bit. But just for your the sake of note-taking, it was Philippians. We said that faith is required for an obedient life. It's not anything that we can will ourselves into. It's not anything that we can make up our mind about that we'll always be obedient apart from the Spirit of God and faith in God, so that this is not something that we just do on our own, but it's an act of faith. And we learned that it's not about us being able to believe with our brains and or be convinced of something that God gives us to do, but it's because of our reverence and respect for who God is and our faith in God, not in our faith in how the thing is going to work out, not in our faith in understanding it. And our reference for that is Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We don't only have faith in God because of who God is, but also because God reveals his ways to us through his word, the written word, the preached, the spoken word. He reveals it to the word that he speaks into our hearts, that he impresses upon us by the Holy Spirit. And so we are without excuse that we can't access what God has for us to do, who God wants for us to be, the life that he wants for us to live. And so one of the examples that I remind us of is the second one, which is on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And specifically, we looked at verses 8 through 10 and 11 through 14. And it was God speaking to God's people saying, now look, you know, it's not as if I have set my word so far away from you that you can't reach it. We can't say that we can't access God's word. And so God is saying, it's available to you. My voice is available to you. God's spirit was left for us by Jesus. And so we have a way to communicate with the Lord. And so our faith is developed and formed out of that relationship and communication from God. Okay. Moving right along. We also said that we are formed or socialized in the world. The world thinks a lot of different things about, let me see something. Let me go back a second. Okay. The world thinks, has a lot of different varied ideas about what obedience means. And it's not necessarily a popular term when you're talking to people about being obedient. And so these were some of the images that we looked at that kind of triggered different emotions and different responses from people. So there's the image of the man obedient training the dog. And that for some of us, when we hear obedience, that's the first thing we think of, well, I'm no animal. the other image of the officer speaking to the soldier, obedient training in a boot camp kind of a image. We see the one image on the screen of obedience that we think about in culture where people would say, oh, you're going to be obedient. You're going to follow somebody right off of a cliff. And the final one there is we discovered that triggered some stuff for people, but it looks like a male and a female person, and the male person is bowing down to the female person with his credit card up in the air. And so these are some of the things that people kind of think about when they think about obedience. But there's more to it, amen? All right. And we are taught, we are socialized over the course of our lives. We are influenced by many different voices. And so we've got to first be aware and honest with the fact that we weren't born bundled up in the word. And so we can't say, you know, I came out knowing the word and I had this clear understanding about what God expects. But we were impacted by school. We were impacted by our families, or whatever our different religious understandings were. All of these things help to shape our way of thinking about what obedience means. And then we looked at the original language, and ending our review, we learned that one of the words used the most in Scripture, derech, used the most in Scripture to talk about what obedience is, means walking in the way. So our living our obedient life means that we're walking in the way that the Lord lines up for us. And that reference was from Deuteronomy 5:33. Deuteronomy 5:33. Okay. So that is a quick kind of recap of what we talked about last week. Okay, everybody okay? All right. So we need to be able to build and make sure that we are kind of starting at the same place. So I want to know, raise your hand if you've ever been a part of a conversation where either yourself or someone you were talking to uttered these words on the screen. And for those who are listening and not here, it says what? It says, because I said so. So raise your hand if you've ever said it to somebody or somebody said it to you. I'm not going to ask you which side of that conversation you were on. And all the children in here need to raise their hand. And none of them did. Okay. So if it didn't happen so long ago that you can't remember what happened, then or you're just claiming that you don't remember, but you really do because it was not that long ago. But if you can think back, think about the person that you were in conversation with that either said it to you or you said it to. Everybody got a memory? Mm-hmm. Can you agree that there was something different between you and that person? Yes, okay, so everybody's nodding. There's a distinction between that person and you, whether you were the one that said it, there was something different about the two of you, right? And that's the only way that because I said so can work, is that there's got to be a difference between either the one that's saying because I said so and the one that's listening or not listening so well, or vice versa. There's got to be a distinction between those two. Otherwise, there's no authority that goes with that, right? Because it matters who said because I said so. Otherwise, you might just laugh in the person's face. But if there's that difference between the two people or the two groups of people or the two whatevers or three whatevers, then that's where the power, that's where the authority comes in. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because I said so. So we're still talking about obedience, right? All of this starting to kind of line up. There is power in that statement, and all of the power, all of the authority in that statement, because I said so, lies. This, I'm learning more about English than I thought I ever would want to. Lies in what's called the subject of this sentence. The verb of this sentence is said. That's the action word, right, children? That's the verb. The action word is said. But the subject, meaning the one that's doing the saying, is who? So where does the power of that statement rest? In the I. The authority is rested in the I. So maybe it's because I said so, or maybe it's because I said so. Right? So if you're talking to your whoever, and because I said so, they think about who the I is. And because they know who the I is and what the I is capable of doing and what the I, Sister Winnie, has done in the past, then they think about what their response will be to what it was that they were instructed to do. And so that's what we're thinking about in terms of obedience on tonight. Obedience as a response to the sovereignty of God. And after we get that big title down, we'll just talk about what that means. And obedience as a response to the sovereignty of God. And I promise we'll break all of that down. So we go back to the scripture verse that we read last week and that I referenced tonight, which is the Philippians passage, Philippians chapter 2. and verses 7 through 8, and it's up on the screen, but we read a fuller part of it last week. But it's where the apostle is sharing with the church about why they need to maintain their commitment to be a servant. So in the midst of the church at Philippi being faithful to God and serving God and doing what the Lord has called them to do, they, you know, experience life's challenges. And sometimes, just sometimes, as we're doing what the Lord is calling us to do, it gets rough, right? You experience challenges and you need an encourager. You need a Paul. You need someone in your life to say, I know it's tough, but you got to hang in there. And so what he's saying is that the reason why is because look at our example, Jesus, our model, Jesus. Because he was a servant and even to the point of becoming obedient to death. And so 7 and 8 say, being found in appearance like a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, that is death on the cross. So the journey that was laid out for him that ended in death, the Lord Jesus was faithful to it, obedient to it. And if we think about what he says in that fuller passage of scripture is that he did it because that was what the Lord God instructed or had for him to do. That was the work that he was sent to do, right? And so we've each got things that the Lord is calling us to do. And we're not talking about, you know, massive career stuff. We're talking about speaking to our neighbor and being kind and being faithful and whatever it may be, tithing. And so what Jesus is modeling for us is that we can continue to do this until the Lord calls us home. And part of the reason why we're obedient is because we know who God is. And it's because I that said so. Right? Our instructions come from the Lord. Our instructions come from God. And so since the Lord is the one that's giving us this path to walk, this obedience, then because I said so becomes our motivation. So what I want to just kind of do is just very briefly remind us of who's involved. We talked about the fact that when we hear because I said so, it makes a difference who those two groups or two people are. So let's imagine you think about that conversation that you had when someone said, I said so, or you said because I said so, that there was a distinction between you and them. So isn't it the same with us as God's children? Isn't there a difference between who we are and who God is? And in the reality is that sometimes in our day-to-day living, we kind of forget, or the lines get blurred for us. God is very clear about who we are and our frailties and our challenges. But sometimes, as it's often said, we may get in God's lane and we forget that God is the master, God is the creator. So here, I just want to give you some verses to just trigger our memory and imagine this conversation or this dialogue between us and God in our lives. And because I said so. So we are created by God, it says, in his image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, scripture says, right? So those references are Genesis chapter 1, where we learn about how God formed us, created us. It wasn't the other way around, right? Because I said so. We think about Psalm 139:14, fearfully and wonderfully made. Did we make ourselves? We were fearfully and wonderfully made. As wonderful as we are, we were still made because I said so. We were also cared. We also are cared for by God. And we think of Matthew 6:26 and thereabouts. And God reminds us that, you know, I take care of you whether you think about it or say thank you or not. I take care of the lilies of the field. I take care of the birds of the air. I make the sun and the moon do what they do. I put the stars in their place. And so it reminds us that we are cared for by God. We don't care for God. So it's about making sure our perspective is right. We got this thing right about who God is, who we are. We also know, yes, we are created by God and we are wonderfully made by God. We are taken care of by God. We are also brought back together to God through Christ Jesus. We're not responsible for that either. Can't take credit for it. Reconciled means that we were far apart from God because of our sin, because the sin of fallen humanity, and it took God to put God's self in flesh and come down, be born, to die, to sacrifice for us to get us back to God. None of that can we take credit for. And so just a couple of references there are John 3:16, that God so loved the world. Again, we did not so love God that we gave anything, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so in Colossians 1:21 to 23 as well, about how we are brought back together in Christ. So, I mean, that's just a really quick snapshot, but I think we get the point. Is that we are created, we are kept, we are formed, we are made, we are reconciled, and God is the one who is the active agent in doing all of the things that we need. So when we think about the I told you so, I think we are to be on the recipient end of the I told you so. Although sometimes I think we tell God that. So that's who we are. God is. All the things that we say that God is on Sundays and Wednesdays. God is the joy and the strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery. God is holy. Promise to keep me, never to leave me. He's never, ever come short of his word. Not me, because I do all the time. God is holy. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is just. God is omniscient. God knows all. God sees all. That's what that means. God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. And God is sovereign. All the things that we know, to say, that we believe, but are our responses, our faithful responses, reflecting that? Are we the obedient people because we have an awareness of who God is and who we are? And our obedience comes out of that reminding ourselves over and over again the reality of that dynamic, that we are not equals. And so when some of us had a flashback about because I said so, we realized that there was a power difference, right? I'm not going to ask you who told you because I said so, and that shut down the conversation, but it probably did, because it did, because there was a difference in the power dynamic there. So there was a distinction, a difference between us and God, between the creator and the creation. And so to say God is sovereign, this is not about us. We believe God is sovereign, right? That means, and we'll define that, but so this is not about us trying to be convinced of it. It's a reality. God is all of these things: holy, gracious, merciful, just, omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign. But what it is to challenge us to the degree in which we resist or push back. Remember all those words that were opposite of obedience? Self-will, disobedient, insubordinate. It's thinking about how we are those things because we don't recognize, we don't act as if these things are true. So much of our disobedience comes from not knowing, because again, we say these things, but not acting as if. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Sovereign may be defined as a supreme ruler, one who possesses ultimate power. Anybody disagree that those are characteristics of who we say God is? Okay. Some other words to describe it. Total. Sovereign means total, all, everything. All-sufficient God, all-knowing God, all-powerful God. All of those things belong fully to God. Boundless, that means God has no beginning or end, right? Is all. Unconditional, unlimited, unrestricted. Is God bound by time? Is God bound by our ideas or understandings? Is God bound by resources? Self-governing. Who's in charge of Lord God? Absolute and supreme. Absolute. Without need of anything. So God is sovereign. And so we heard earlier in Deuteronomy, God saying, I have made myself known to you through my written word, through my spoken word. It sounds like we're familiar with who God is. It sounds like we've heard this before. God said that my word and everything is not so far out of reach that you can't get it. In scripture, God says over and over to his people, I am. We've heard this, right? I am. Who am? God says, I am the Lord your God, over and over again in the Hebrew scriptures in Old Testament. I am the Lord your God. In Exodus, before the Ten Commandments starts, the opening prelude begins the same way. I am Yahweh. So we know who God is, right? In Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God. I am. Who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isaiah 41:13. In Genesis 15:1, scripture says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. God says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Because who said so? Who is the I of the because I said so? God, the Holy One, the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful one, said because I said so, the all-knowing one, the one who is not without resources, the one who has no limits or no boundaries, said because I said so. The sovereign one, the gracious one, the merciful one says, I said so. I am, I. So how is it then that our response to the one who says, because I said so, can be no? And we might not say no with those words, you know. We have our ways, don't we, of saying no. I'll move on it when I feel led to move on it. I'll go when, you know, things line up and I get some stuff in order. The one who is not without any resources, the one who is limitless and boundless, says to go, and we decide to not go yet. Because. Because I said so. Why, Lord? Why do I go now? Because I said so. Why, Lord? Why do I have to speak to them? Because I said so. I am the Holy One. I am the Righteous One. And so our obedience has to always be checked up against the I, the authority, the subject of that sentence. Let's look by example at the life of our brother Moses. Join me in Exodus chapter 3. So the next time we pull up, because I said so on somebody else. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, let's think about when the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh said, do it. Okay, so I'm going to read for you. Exodus chapter 3. And this is the story of the servant Moses. And I'm going to read 1 through 16 in the NIV. And I want something to happen on the inside every time you hear I as the voice of God. And try to think about what it is that the Lord God is saying about God's self. What is God saying I about? Okay? Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, chapter 3, verse 1, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Who called him? Who called Moses? God called him. Who called you? Okay. And Moses said, here I am. Verse 5, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, who said it? God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because God had just revealed himself, because he was afraid to look at God. Do we tremble when God says, let me remind you of who I am? Do we still have that same reverence when God shows up in such a way and is present and said, let me just let you know, before you got here, young one, I'm the God of your ancestors. I've been doing this for a minute. Excuse me. This is verse 7. The Lord said, here is the Lord speaking again. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Who saw it? I have what? Heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So who? I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. I know, Moses, this is really not about you. And to bring them up out of that land into the good and spacious land, a land with flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. Who did he tell to go? Right, but who saw the problems? And who decided that he was going to come down and rescue them? Okay, all he did was tell you to go, Moses. And now go, because I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. 11. But Moses said to God, here we go. Who am I? This is Moses now. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Now, listen. The Lord just spent all this time explaining to Moses about who God was, right? He just said, listen, I saw what was going on. These are my people. I'm about to do something about it, so you go. And Moses immediately then looks at who? Himself. Did God ask him about what he could do or who he knew or what kind of resources he had or how equipped he was? All he said was, go. I'm taking care of this. So a lot of times, whether we call it disobedience or not, it comes out of that realization of when we look in the mirror after God said, go do something or be something or you can be better or do this for yourself or for your, whatever it is. And what happens is we start to look at ourselves. And because I said so is the challenge for us to look at the I and be reminded of who God is. God never expected you to be God. We're not going to be as God. He knows exactly who Moses is and where he found him. Okay. 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, baby boy, I tried to tell you in verses 1 through whatever, but God said, because God loves us and bless our hearts, I will be with you. Who will be with you? God, I, the Holy One, the gracious and merciful one, the just one, the omniscient one, the omnipotent one, the sovereign one. That's who was going to be with Moses when Moses just does what God tells Moses to do. All of that, all of who God is who is with us and what goes with us when we do what God tells us to do. He doesn't just give us, you know, send us out there and God stands back and watches us fail. But he comes with us and all of who he is available. God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And a lot of times our obedience leads people back toward the one who actually did what needed to be done. So out of our obedience, people should be turned to God, not toward us. 13, Moses said to God, okay, all right, I hear what you're saying, Lord, but suppose, let's just say, for example, because we got reasons and thoughts and thinking and thoughts. Suppose I go to the Israelites, right, Lord, and I got that you know everything, blah, blah, blah. You're in the future and in the past at the same time, okay. But let's just say I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they asked me, well, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Hey, he heard nothing about who God said in the previous verses. Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. 15, God also said to Moses, okay, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of the misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. So can you see the conversation that kind of ends at some point in, listen, just because I said so, because I said so. Well, what about when I, but because I said so. And it's not, again, as we said in the first week, it's not some flaky thing that the world would think, well, we are just unwise, uneducated people where we just led astray randomly. But it's because of the faith and the confidence in us coming to know through relationship who the I is. It's because we know God is holy, merciful, just, omnipotent, omniscient, that when, because I says that we have confidence that the I can do it. And so what does I say? I calls Moses out and Moses responds in verse 4. He calls us out, church. He calls us out, believer. We say that we are his. And so he calls us to live an obedient life. God identifies himself over and over again. I'm the God of your forefathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the one that's been faithful from the beginning. God reminds us of who God has been to us and to our family and to our church over all this time. This is what the I says. And then in the next several verses, the Lord then just says, I've seen what happened. Sisters and brothers, I heard what was going on. I am not unaware of what's happening. I know, and I'm going to come now and do something about it. I will be with you, and so go and just do what I tell you to do. I'm not unaware. God is not unaware. And then God, finally he says to Moses to tell Pharaoh and Israel that I am sent you. And I think this is so important. Because God isn't just telling the church that God is I am, but God is also saying to Pharaoh, I am. And so God isn't just I am to us. God is the I am of all creation. And so we ought not be concerned or afraid or worried that the I am only counts for those who are of the household of faith. But the omniscient, omnipotent, just, and holy and righteous and sovereign God is the sovereign of all things created, is omnipotent, all-powerful over all things. And so he tells to them, you got to go tell the people of God. You got to remind them that I am, and you got to go tell Pharaoh. Sometimes we've got to stand in obedience, and I don't know if it's more challenging to do so among the people of faith in the church house or to do so on the sidewalk. But wherever God sends us in whatever moment, to declare who he is, that is what we are called to do. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I am stands above time, above circumstance, above consequence, above and beyond anything that he calls us to do. I am that I am, and I am is the one who calls us into a life of obedience. So when we think about, because I said so, this is who the I that we serve is. Okay? Amen, sister over there. And so we conclude with this idea. We respond, our response to God comes out of, is through an awareness. That means we know the blinders are taken off. The Spirit reveals it to us and reminds us of our proper, that doesn't make sense, an awareness of our proper, an awareness of, and our proper response, that should say, and our proper response to our relationship with God. So the reason why we desire to live an obedient life is because we are aware by God's word, through God's preaching, through his teaching, through his Holy Spirit revealing it to our hearts of who we are, right? Remember that dynamic, that distinction between the two people? We're not the same. We are created, kept, reconciled by God, and God is everything. Because we are now aware of that difference, and we recognize that the I am is the same I am for Moses that he is for us now, that he's able, he sees all, he's aware, he can come down and do it. And because of us knowing who he is, that's how we can then respond out of obedience, because we know who we are and we know who God is. And that's why it's the God who can say, because I said so, and that can motivate us to live a life of obedience. Amen? All right, let me see if I can pull something up here, and then I will let you go. Let's see if this one will work. This is called the obedience song, so you got to memorize it for next week. In the way, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. All right. Well, we will close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for another opportunity to dig deep into your word. We thank you for how you teach us more about who you are and who we are in you. Thank you that you are the I am. Help us, O Lord, to live an obedient life, remembering that when you have called us to live, how you have called us to live, where you have called us to go, what you have called us to do is possible because you are the great I am. Now as we leave this place, but never your presence, O Lord, we pray that you would go with us and keep us in your care. Until we gather together in this holy sanctuary again, we love you. If there be anyone here on tonight who has not confessed the Lord Jesus as your Savior and made him your Lord, what greater opportunity is there than in the presence of these that are gathered? We are opening, extending the invitation, not just for you to become a part of this body, but for you to become a part of the family of God, to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Lord died for you so that you might live in eternity with him. To be reconciled with him, you need only to confess that you are a sinner and accept the free gift of salvation. So if there's anyone here with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you would only lift your hand, we'll pray with you and walk you through the path toward salvation in the Lord Jesus. Is there one on tonight? As our eyes are closed and we're praying for the hearts of those who are gathered here, only lift your hands. Lord, we thank you for the salvation of this house. And we pray, oh God, that even as we are saved in you and our eternity is secure, we know that there is more, that there is greater, that there's deeper and higher. And so let us not rest on our salvation, oh Lord, but allow you to continue to make us and to mold us into what you would have us to be. We thank you that you who started a good work in us will continue to do it until the day of Christ Jesus. We thank you, O Lord, for the gifts that have been prepared for tonight. And so we bring an offering to you, O Lord. And we know and we pray that it would be used for your great pleasure, for the building of the church of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for this offering. We thank you for the sacrifice of your word. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As our trustee back out.